Welcome to New Books in Political Science. My name is Heath Brown, and today I'll be speaking with Stella Rouse, who's the author of Latinos in the Legislative Process, Interest and Influence. Stella, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Heath?
I'm doing well. I enjoyed the book. Timely topic, really well researched. Before we get to the book itself, maybe you could tell us a little bit about yourself, where you are, where you've been, what fills up your time.
Well, I'm an assistant professor at the University of Maryland in College Park, Maryland. As you've already mentioned, my book topic, that's generally what I do. I study, my main area of interest, of course, is American politics with a concentration on Latinos, specifically, more broadly, minority politics, legislative behavior, and then, you know, minority politics more broadly. I do a little bit of behavior outside of the legislative arena. Right now I'm working on doing some work looking at Congress and minority coalitions in Congress with a focus on social networks. And so that's what I'm working on currently.
Fantastic. It's your book is really interesting because it does touch on some aspects that really aren't dealt with in full detail sort of in the popular discussion of Latinos in politics, which is frequently discussed in terms of individual voting behavior and sometimes with some individual members of Congress. But you've really taken a very comprehensive look at voting patterns in Congress and policymaking. Before we get to sort of the meat of your story that you have to tell, let's talk about two terms which would be helpful for you to sort of explain and define for us. And the two terms are descriptive representation and substantive representation. What do these two terms mean, and why are they important to take on separately as you do in the book?
Sure. So descriptive representation refers to representation of groups, and of course I should say from the onset that these terms are used normally when we're describing the representation of minority groups, right? And oftentimes we look at minority groups historically as being represented by whites because, you know, whites and in particular white males, because those are the ones that have historically been the ones that have been elected to the institutions, to our representative institutions. So we use these terms to describe the representation of minorities because we look at descriptive representation as being the representation of minorities as those who represent minorities, the people that represent minorities that look like them, that look like, for example, blacks representing blacks, right, or Latinos representing Latinos. So they descriptively represent those that look like them, right? So that's what we describe. We use those terms to describe the ones that represent the people that look like the people that are representing those groups. So descriptive representatives would be the representatives that look like the members of those particular groups. Substantive representation, we speak of those representing those members of those groups as representing those in a way that they can stand in place for the representation of those groups. So we often have used the term substantive representation in a way that describes that those white representatives that have represented the interests of minority groups. So, for example, a white representative can maybe represent the interests of a minority group, but they don't look like that minority group. So we have used those terms exclusively at times because minority representatives have not had minority representatives have not been able to represent minorities at times. But now that we have had more, have been able to have more minority representatives in positions of power, we can start using those terms not exclusively, right? So we have been able to use those terms together. So can descriptive representatives also provide substantive representation for minorities? So we have descriptive representatives also providing substantive representation. So they represent minorities, they look like those representatives, but also represent the interests of minorities.
Yeah, let's focus first on descriptive representation, not really the focus of your book, but it really does set the context into which we can start. So how are Latinos represented in various legislative in legislative terms? What kind of numbers are we looking at the national level and within state legislatures? We know about increasing size of the Latino population in the U.S., but how closely does representation track with those increases in the years that you study?
Right. So we still have, obviously, Latinos are the largest minority group, and they're the largest and fastest growing minority group in this country. But those numbers in representative institutions, both at the state level and at the national level, those numbers are not growing at the same level in representative bodies as they are in the general population, right? So we have, by the year 2050, we're talking about, a third to even larger numbers of Latinos in this country, right, as being the largest minority group. But unfortunately, those numbers are not tracking the same in representative institutions. So in Congress, we're still talking about, very few Latinos in Congress, right, serving in Congress. It's still less than 10% in Congress, right? In the state legislature, depending on the state that you're talking about, right, with the exception of New Mexico, which has a huge Latino representation in Congress, it's almost the majority that serve in New Mexico. And we can talk about New Mexico being the exception because they have a huge history of Latinos serving in that legislature, and they're just the exception to the rule compared to other states. It's depending on the state that you talk about. California has a huge representation of Latinos. Texas still pretty big, but other states is still still pretty low, right? So Latinos are still the minority in many of the states that we talk about in terms of representation. And they are not growing at the level that you would like to see, given the population, right, in all these states, increasing in the population.
Right. And once elected, whether they make up 5% of the legislature, 10%, or in the case of New Mexico, even more, there's this second element that you describe, which is how legislators act, how they behave once in office. This all seems to assume that there are a set of Latino interests, and so are there? And if they are, what are they? And is there anything surprising that you found about what the Latino electorate cares about that we might not expect?
Sure. Well, and I'll back up just a little bit, and that you've now taken the discussion a little bit to Latino interest. And I think one thing that I want to say about, I think that's important about the book is, I think one thing that was missing in the literature on Latinos and Latino representation is that a lot of the literature on the subject assumed that Latinos, had their own interests, right? That there was a Latino agenda or that the Latinos had, particular interests that they were interested in, right? That they had particular priorities. But that it wasn't empirically established that they had a Latino political agenda. And so when we talked about Latino representatives, putting Latino interests on the agenda, there was this assumption that, they were representing a Latino political agenda. And so I felt it was very important that we looked at that, or that I looked at that starting out in this book, because we talked about, well, in the Latino mass public, there was particular interests that they were interested in, or that the news media pushed the fact that immigration was the most important issue that was important to the Latino population. And they put out there, there's these mass protests. Latinos are very united behind immigration. And so there was this presumption that immigration was the most important issue for Latinos. And that was never really empirically established. And so I felt very strongly that if I was going to do this book on Latinos and Latino interest in establishing a Latino political agenda, that this idea about, what are the issues that are most important to Latinos, and whether there is a Latino political agenda needed to be established. And so that's what I did initially in the book. In the first part of the book, I spend a lot of time establishing whether there is a Latino political agenda, whether there is a congruent political agenda, and whether that agenda matches what's important to the Latino mass public and to the Latino legislators. And then I talk about whether that agenda, whether those interests are making it onto the legislative agenda in particular states. And what I find out, and whether, again, the other thing is whether that agenda is different from the agenda of the majority, which are white, for example. And I think what I do, what I hope I do, is actually establish that there are interests that are particularly important to Latinos, right? That there is a Latino political agenda that differs from white, and that these issues are making it onto the legislative agenda. And once I establish that, once I'm able to do that, then we can talk about these interests being represented within legislatures in these states. And what I do find is that there are interests that are important to Latinos, particular interests that form a Latino political agenda. These interests include, by the way, the most important issues that are important to Latinos does not include immigration. And I established this, I think, not only from a quantitative perspective, but from interviewing Latino legislators, none of which, the ones that I interviewed, put immigration at the top of the list, right? Immigration becomes sort of embedded in everyday lives because of the fact that Latinos have to deal with immigration because there's no solution to the immigration debate, and they are sort of brought to the forefront of immigration, of having to deal with immigration because there's no solution to immigration, and they have to deal with it. But it's not because immigration is something that's important to Latinos as a top priority or part of their top political agenda.
So what is, if immigration isn't it, and for a lot of people they would say that is a big surprise.
Right.
And they would then say, okay, so if it's not immigration, what is it?
Right. Education is the top priority for Latinos. Healthcare is the top priority for Latinos. These are the top issues. Government working for the betterment of their lives. And you know, you'd have to read that chapter to see how that fits in the way that this is measured. But those are the top priorities that are important for Latinos. But education, when you talk to Latinos in the public and when you talk to Latino legislators, education is what's most important to the Latino public, to Latino legislators, making education a priority because they see that as a pathway to improving their lives.
So given that, if a elected official was going to act in a substantively representational way, would that mean that they would be pursuing education, healthcare, and I think in the book jobs was maybe third? Is that the way that we come to think about substantive representation as taking the priorities for Latinos and putting them onto the legislative agenda or pushing them to become law?
Sure. So how descriptive and substantive representation work together then is you have a Latino legislator who is not only, you know, is the descriptive representative for Latinos, but then he's pushing those substantive interests for the Latino community.
Okay. And so what do you find? Do Latino officials, in fact, pursue these priorities to a greater extent than non-Latinos, and if they do, are there certain circumstances where they're more likely to pursue these set of interests and other circumstances where they're less likely to pursue these interests?
Yes, so my answer to that would be, if you read my book, the answer would be yes and no. It depends on the stage of the legislative process that we examine and the states that we're examining it. And so my answer to that would be that representation is not monolithic, right? And that's kind of the conclusion of my book. So other work has only looked at certain stages of the legislative process, and other work, the work that has been done in terms of representation, and not just for Latinos, but for other minorities, and then just more broadly, has often concentrated on roll call voting, right? As you know, roll call voting often and in the past has sort of tried to define representation in that roll call voting is the only way that we should look at representation. And, And I'm not the only one. There's others that have made this argument that we can't define representations as by just simply looking at roll call voting, that we have to look at representation much more broadly. And this is what I try to look at in the book in terms of looking at Latino representation. We have to look at other stages of the representative process. And so I look at agenda setting by looking at sponsorship. I look at the committee process, and then I also look at roll call voting. And then I take a much more detailed look at certain bills throughout the legislative process. And I examine, you know, what goes on at each stage of the legislative process. And what I find is that Latinos are able to provide different forms of representation, and Latinos receive different types of representation from their representatives, much better representation, much more descriptive representation at different stages of the legislative process. And in other stages, they don't receive as good of descriptive representation from their Latino representatives. So, you know, for example, in the agenda setting stage, co-sponsorship stage, you know, I find that representation that they receive much better representation from the representatives when there's less Latinos in the legislature, right? So they act more as these what I call critical actors, right? Bringing bills that are important to Latinos to the agenda, which is an interesting finding, and I think it is a unique finding. You know, what happens when more Latinos are actually in those chambers? Will they receive that type of sort of critical actor, descriptive representation that I'm finding in these particular states? Will that continue to be the case? And so then in agenda setting, I do find that descriptive representation is taking place and that those issues that are important to Latinos are making it to the legislative agenda. The findings on committees are much more mixed, whether Latinos are actually receiving descriptive representation. In some states, yes, in some states, no. And then, again, the findings for roll call are the same findings that other scholars have found, where party really is the big sort of force, where really the substantive representation that's taking place at the roll call stage of the legislative process is that party takes over everything. So really, there's hardly any descriptive representation that's taking place there. It's more that the issues that are important to the party rather than the issues that are really, you know, the issues that are important to Latinos. So if the issues are similar, Latinos are more Democratic, you know, part of the Democratic Party. So if issues are important to Democrats, the same issues that are important to Latinos are being passed by the Democratic Party, then those issues are going to matter, right? But it's not so specific about the Latino issues at the roll call stage of the legislative process.
Yeah, and there's so many interesting detailed statistical analyses that we can't even quite get to unless we had a spreadsheet and all the numbers to look at.
Right.
But before we finish, what I was wanting you to do is just to look ahead a little bit. We know what the demographic trends suggest about state populations, and we know that states are going to vary in terms of the demographic changes, but many are going to have larger Latino populations. And as a result, we would expect they would also have a large amount of descriptive representation. But what about looking forward in terms of the substantive population? What happens when it's more normal that a legislature has 15% or 20% of Latinos in the legislative branch. What happens to Latino interests? Will they? Do your findings suggest that those will start to dominate legislative proceedings, or as you sort of alluded to, might they start to change the way that they'll be represented? What do you see in the future, quite simply?
Yeah, so, you know, one interesting thing that I found while I was doing my interviews was in California, right, which is a state that's heavily Latino, and you see this in the final chapter when I do my case study. I have a case study for Arizona, the big anti-immigration bill in Arizona, and then I do a case study on a bill in California, which is a low Latino salient bill, but we know that, that California, that Latinos in California are very embedded in the legislature. They have positions of power, of leadership, which is one reason that I chose to do a bill in California to show how influential Latinos are in the legislature in California. And so I interviewed the head of the Latino caucus member in California. And when I was interviewing him, you know, I was talking to him about the issues that are important to Latinos and how they bring those issues onto the agenda in the California Assembly. And, you know, one thing that he said to me is that, you know, what they try to do in the California Assembly is that, you know, the issues that are important to Latinos are issues that are important to all Californians. And that is how they are very successful in getting their legislation passed in California. Even though they have a Latino agenda and that the bills that are important to Latinos, they have these certain set of bills that they are trying to get to pass and trying to get support. But that the way they try to get that support is by painting that picture that issues important to Latinos are issues that are important to all Californians. And so that really struck me as this template that they have in California is the template that I foresee for many states that are a growing Latino population and how those that growing Latino population in other states and how as they start getting influence in legislatures in other states, how they can grow their influence and try to get that legislation passed in other states and how that template in California can work in other states. It's to show, because it's not really different, the issues that are important to Latinos are not all that different from the issues that are important to everyday Americans, right? We talked about those issues, education, healthcare, jobs, right? Aside from the issue of immigration, which oftentimes that issue is not brought forward by Latinos, it's often Latinos reacting to the majority group you know, bringing that issue to the agenda and Latinos having to react to immigration. It's not that Latinos are the ones bringing it to the table. So it's the fact that Latinos have to sell the issues that are important to them, saying that these are the issues that are important to all Americans. And once Latinos become that force in legislatures and get those positions of power and leadership, it's saying these are the issues. We are just as American and we are, you know, the issues that are important to us are the issues that are important to all Americans. Or if we get power in, you know, Texas or whatever the next state is that is going through that transition, you know, the issues that are important to us are the issues that are important to all Texans. This is the way that we will sell it, and this is the way that we will gain influence. That is how I see that evolution occurring. And, you know, they have the number, the strength in numbers. It's just a matter of being able to use that strength and that influence to sort of be able to push their interests forward.
Yeah, there's a lot to learn in this book for political scientists, for sociologists, for a number of different fields. I can strongly recommend it. It's a new book from Cambridge University Press, again, Latinos in the Legislative Process, Interests and Influence, by Stella Rouse. Stella, thank you very much for your time today.
Hey, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.